Well, there's some things that we all need as human beings that we just can't get away from. There's a lot more things we think we need, but that's another sermon, or at least a sermon for another day. And as I was looking at our texts that we have for today, it shouldn't come as too much of a surprise that this whole notion of thirst is what struck me. There's lots of other things we could talk about, of course, but thirst comes up, or at least water in one way or another, in a couple of the readings very explicitly. And as I was thinking of the Exodus reading, I was reminded again of how easy it is for us to look at a story from the end and try and sort of ascribe perhaps motives or who knows what to the people of Israel. And we look at this and we see the people of Israel saying, "We want water," and we think, "Well, come on, you know better than that." Well, I don't know about that. How many of us have ever actually been thirsty? I'm not talking about when you haven't had a drink of water after eating a bag of chips, although you're certainly thirsty then. I'm not talking about even working out in the fields for a few hours and you forgot your water. I'm talking about the last time you had water was yesterday. I've never been that thirsty. I've never been in that position. I think the longest I've gone without any kind of liquid at all is when I've had some kind of medical test that I couldn't drink before or something like that. And I was a fairly unpleasant person by the time I got to the end of that 3 or 4 hours, however long it was. So I think we need to look at the Israelites with a bit more compassion, perhaps, or at least understanding, when they get a little crabby with Moses and say, "Give us water to drink." These people knew what happened when you didn't drink water. There's sometimes referred to as the 3-3-30 rule of being a human being. It means you can go without air for about 3 minutes, you can go without water for about 3 days, and go without food for about 30 days. Now, obviously, there's variations in there, but after even a day, my best understanding is that you're really, really thirsty. And when we get really, really thirsty, that's all we think about. So for the Israelites to come to Moses and complain, maybe they shouldn't have complained, but it's a very understandable thing that they would say, "Look, what's going on? We're thirsty. We have nothing to drink. Did you bring us out here to die?" God came to Moses, interceded for them, and they had water to drink. Now, they probably could have gone about it in a better way, but it helps us understand them at least a little bit better when we realize that they were dealing with a real issue. There was no water that they could see anywhere. Thirst is one of those peculiar things that we can even get into a position where we think we're thirsty and we are, and we can then actually consume things that are liquid that apparently make our thirst actually worse. Distilled water, for example, doesn't really do a whole lot for your thirst, so I've been told. I don't know. Drinking highly caffeinated beverages, depending on how you metabolize caffeine, can actually make you thirstier, can dehydrate you more. We don't always know what it is that, we don't always know what we need to fix what's wrong, but we usually know what's wrong. So let's flip over to our gospel reading and look again at thirst, or at water. Jesus is sitting by a well. This is in the middle of the day, and a woman comes to draw water, which is kind of odd all by itself. I mean, you don't draw water in the middle of the day. It's hot. Water's more likely to evaporate in the hot sun. So the pattern, generally speaking, is to draw water first thing in the morning or in the evening. But there's Jesus sitting there at noon, and this Samaritan woman comes up getting water. Jesus says, "Give me a drink." And first they have a bit of a theological, or perhaps an ecclesiological discussion about whether or not they can interact at all. Jesus said, "Well, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd know about this living water, and you'd ask him." And the Samaritan woman makes the immediate assumption, which is not a bad one, that he's talking about real water, like about H2O. She says, "Well, of course I want that. I've never been in a position where I have to pump water." I remember going and visiting my grandmother and my grandfather back when I was a little kid, and there we pumped water, but my grandfather, being an unusually handy kind of guy, ran piping into the house, so at least you were pumping water in the kitchen, for the kitchen, in the kitchen. And so for those of us who were used to a tap, this is actually kind of fun. But doing it all the time isn't fun. Pumping water is hard work. And in a lot of places, it's not even a matter of going out into the backyard and pumping water. It's going to the water source and carrying it back. Imagine that for a moment. I don't know what your commutes are like now or have been in the past, but how would you like to walk 2 hours there to get water and then 2 hours back every day? And we don't know how far the Samaritan woman had to come to get water. It was obviously far enough that she didn't want to if she didn't have to. And Jesus then says, well, we're talking about something here other than physical thirst. Jesus, as you know, if you've read anything about or read any of his stories, frequently used analogies to help us understand spiritual things on the basis of physical things, which we understand better. And I don't think it's too much of a leap when we're looking at these texts to equate the need that we have for God with thirst. Because it's something that we need. Pascal talked about a God-shaped hole in all of us. I think there is one. There are other sized holes too. I didn't know I had a Heather-sized hole in me until I met her and then found out that took care of that. There are all these different parts of the world around us that we need, and one of them is God. And looking at our need for God, looking at our need for an ongoing, meaningful, living relationship with him as a kind of thirst is a really good way to look at it, because you can store up fat for the coming hardship, which many of us do, whether we have hardships coming or not, our body seems to think we do. But you can't store up water the same way. Getting a drink is one of those things that you have to do on a regular basis. You can't drink, we're not like camels. We can't drink enough today that we won't have to drink until Thursday. We need to drink every day. And Jesus is talking about thirst from the perspective of our need for God is like a thirst. And we have to go and have that thirst dealt with. We have to have it assuaged. We have to drink something. But Jesus says he can put that well, he can put that water within us. And until we get it within us, we're going to go around and we're going to drink other things that we think will deal with this thirst. In the same way that people who have been without water for any period of time will drink anything liquid they find, whether it's muddy water, whether it's tainted water, whatever it might be. When we're thirsty for God, we're going to try and deal with that thirst one way or the other. And the thing that's kind of peculiar, and as I've said often, and I wish it didn't work this way, is that even though we have this well of living water within us, we can still go and try and drink somewhere else. We can walk past this spring of living, perfect water and go drink somewhere else. We can go and drink from a tainted stream. And maybe our thirst is managed for at least a little bit. But now we've introduced something else as well. Christosporidium or something like that. To push the analogy as far as we can go. We can choose to drink the wrong things. If you're really thirsty, you can choose to drink Scotch whiskey, the end of which you'll feel thirsty and you will be drunk. You're better off choosing water. When it comes down to taking care of your thirst, water is actually the best thing you can possibly do, no matter what the makers of energy drinks and sport drinks will tell you. Drinking water is perfectly fine. If you have a reasonably well-balanced diet on top of it, you don't have anything to worry about. And drinking, you know, sort of high things like Red Bull and stuff is just kind of crazy, no matter what my kids will tell me. When you're thirsty, drink what you need, which is water. When you're thirsty for God, go to God. But we often don't. We feel the thirst. We know that we're missing something. We know we need something. And so we go to the first thing that we think will take care of it. The Samaritan woman obviously had a thirst that she tried to deal with by getting married over and over again. Five partners is a little excessive, I think. Can't remember who was talking about which celebrity who'd been married and divorced a number of times and said, you know, one or two is understandable, but any more than that, it's just sloppy. You think, five? What deep relational hunger wasn't being met? What deep thirst for connection with human beings wasn't being met that she needed to get married over and over again? And for us, even though we have a connection with God, even though we've moved into this relationship with Him at whatever level of maturity we might be, we can still walk past the spring of living water within us and go have a drink at another book, a television show, a seminar, a podcast. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. There's nothing wrong with getting married. But if you're getting married for the wrong reason, you're better off not to. If you're going to a seminar because you have a deep need to connect with Jesus rather than connecting with Jesus, the seminar is not going to do what you need it to do, no matter how good it is. When you're thirsty for God, look to the spring of living water, that source of Jesus within you, rather than anywhere else. It's tempting to go other places because people will tell you, I was thirsty and I went and I listened to this speaker and I'm not thirsty anymore. And I'm sure it's true. But is that what you need? We have all kinds of thirsts. In the human corporeal world that we all have here, we have one kind of thirst. It's a requirement that our body says that you are dehydrated, do something about that. And so we drink water. It's pretty straightforward. Sometimes we make mistakes, we drink the wrong thing, we think this will be good for us, but it turns out it isn't. But it's pretty straightforward. The spiritual hungers, the internal thirsts that we have for connection with God and with people are sometimes a little bit harder for us to tease out. But one of the things that we'll find, in the same way that if you're really thirsty and somebody gives you a cup of coffee, you might enjoy it, but you're probably going to be thirsty again fairly quickly. When you have this thirst within you for connection, and you connect in the way that you think will manage this thirst and it doesn't, maybe you're looking in the wrong place. Maybe you should be looking at that spring of living water that is within you. Maybe what the issue is isn't that you need more friends or more husbands or wives, as the case might be. Maybe the issue isn't that you need more knowledge, that you need to learn something, that you need to go to a class. Maybe you need to spend more time with Jesus. Seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? Seems like one of those things, and of course you'd know that. But the people of Israel knew that God had taken care of them, and they forgot. Who are we to think that we can't likewise allow the actual answer to our thirst to slip our mind and try something else? It doesn't make us bad people. It doesn't make us fundamentally evil. It just makes us human. All of us go to meet the needs we have as efficiently and as quickly as we can. And the world in which we live puts all kinds of things in front of us that say they will take care of any thirst we have. You have a thirst for connection? Go online. You have a thirst for experiences? Travel. Whatever your thirst might be, there is somebody who will tell you exactly how to deal with it instantly. Usually all it takes is money, and you're done. But sometimes, and I think more often than we might think, the fundamental cause of the thirst we have. The dehydration is in our relationship with God. Any of us can get so busy that we get a little dehydrated. If you've ever been around children, your own or somebody else's, and they're playing, and you finally call them in, or they finally come in, and it finally strikes them, you think, oh, would you like something to drink? And they go, well, I don't know, well, maybe. And then they drink a pitcher of whatever it is. They didn't even notice they were thirsty until it was there in front of them. That's just how we're made. When we're concentrating on something else, when we're fully engaged in another way, in another area, we sometimes forget the other areas in our lives, and that's okay. That doesn't make us bad. But when we try to slake our thirst, and it doesn't work, it really encourages us, instead of just drinking more of whatever it is, to look at other sources. Jesus makes it pretty clear in this passage and in many other passages that most of what we need is addressed by Him and the relationship that we have with Him. Not our need for food, not our need for physical water all the time, although He's miraculously intervened for other people here and there. But most of those things that make us dissatisfied, most of those things where we feel there's something missing, are addressed in our relationship with God through Jesus. Through going to that spring of living water within us when we're thirsty and drinking there. Let's start with that instead of trying all these other things and see whether that keeps us well hydrated so that we can do all those other things that we're called to do. God has never told us in Scripture or anywhere else that every second of every day our full and sole attention is to be on Him. Fully mindful of God at all times, of course. But when we're in the middle of a deep conversation about things that matter with people, we need to be fully present with them too. There are other thirsts that we have. The thirst for physical connection with other people. The thirst for creative beauty, for nature. All of these things that we can still address, but let's not forget that most of them are addressed best when we first had a good long drink from the spring of living water within us all. I don't know what you're thirsty for today. I don't know if you're thirsty at all. Metaphorically speaking, of course. But if you are, try a drink at that living water. Try spending some time with Jesus. And see if that doesn't take care of that thirst. Or at least part of it. So you can then zero in on what else is there. There's nothing wrong with being thirsty. It only becomes wrong when you go to the wrong place to deal with it. If you're thirsty for water and you have a piece of bread, you haven't really helped yourself much. There's nothing wrong with bread. When you're thirsty, you should drink. And if you're thirsty today, try a drink of living water and see if that's what you're thirsty for the most. Amen.